Thanks be to God. We kind of began in the middle of a story, and we sort of end in the middle of the story, as if we need to come back next week and find out what happens next. So mark your calendars. But it's an interesting story, the way that John tells it to us, because we probably, as we were listening to it, heard different gospel renditions of the story of who was feeding, who wasn't feeding, how many were there, who was sitting, who was standing, was it men, was it the whole body? And we might have gotten a little bit distracted by our personal understandings or what's familiar, what the familiar story is of his feeding of the 5,000. But John tells us this story in a very particular way. As Jesus is watching all the people come who've been so excited about all the ministry he's been doing and the miracles he's been accomplishing, he's there sitting on the mountainside trying to have a conversation with his 12 disciples, and the crowd is advancing. And Jesus isn't thinking, let's go further up the mountain and finish this conversation where they can't find us. Let's go find a cave. His first thought is, how are we going to feed them all? Where are we going to get the bread to feed the people who are coming? How are we going to show hospitality to the crowd? That seems like a really enormous task to those disciples. And Philip is the one who says, wait a minute. We don't even have enough money to give everybody that little tiny piece of communion bread that we get sometimes when we dip it in the cup. What are we going to do? We don't have enough. And then Andrew says, well, wait a minute, there's this boy here. And he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The task still seems too big for them. It seems too much for their small resources. But then Jesus takes those small resources, takes the bread, and blesses it. And he gives it to each and every one who is there. And the scripture tells us he doesn't just give them a piece of bread at the table. He comes back and says, do you need more? And he gives as much as everyone wants. It says, until they are satisfied. Now, if I were at the communion rail and Jesus was feeding me bread, I don't know if I'd ever get satisfied. He'd have to stand there forever to feed me because I'd be so excited that it was Jesus feeding me. And then he did the same with the fish. So his disciples were thinking, this task is too big. And they began to create obstacles around that task. The obstacles they created were things like, we don't have the resources. The other obstacle was, this is too big a task for us to do. Jesus, you're asking us to do the impossible. There aren't enough of us to feed them. We don't have the right space. It's plenty of grass. We can sit. How often do we do that in our ministry? Do we believe that we have too many obstacles? Or the first thing we do when we think of something we're going to do for the community is make the list of the obstacles in our path. We're too old as a congregation to do that ministry. We don't have enough bodies to feed the people we're going to feed. We don't have the financial resources. Our budget is at bare bones as it is. How can we afford to do this? Our facility isn't quite big enough. We can't house what we're asking to house and do. And we make the list longer and longer and longer. And a lot of that is truth. We are predominantly older than we'd like to be. And our resources are not as financially stable as we'd like them to be. And our numbers aren't such as what we would like them to be. All of that is truth. But remember the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, what the little boy gave, that small offering. that he gave, what resource he had, he gave to God. And God took what we would call obstacles, wiped them out, because the boy allowed an opportunity for God to work through the resources that were given to bless everybody, not just with a little bit of Jesus, but with enough until they were satisfied. Do we allow the obstacles to get in the way for the opportunity for God to bless this community through us? When we think of the ministries that we can or should or would do and create the laundry list of why we can't. Do we allow the laundry list to speak louder than God's grace in the midst of our offering? And I was thinking about that in the times that we thought, oh, we can't package food for Stop Hunger Now. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough finances. And we ended up packaging 1,700 meals by gathering the community around us and pooling the resources we had. The United Methodist Women, I think I brought 70 birthing kits to the annual conference that year when we thought, well, we're just a small group. How many can we make? And we ended up with 70. The cleaning buckets that kind of piled up in that year that we collected for the cleaning buckets, I can't remember how many buckets I brought. But I had heard but we don't have. And God took the resources we did have and used them in abundance. As we walked for Alzheimer's North Carolina, there might have been 40 of us walking, but think about the money we raised. Every year at the barbecue, we have those same conversations around, do we have enough people? Do we have enough to accomplish the task? And each year, God blesses the hands that work it, the hearts that care about it, so that the ministry here can continue through the funds that come in. Carl Lake Ministries Day Camp this year said 10 years we will have been in existence. We're having a free camp. And as I gathered with them over the course of the year, there was two or three in this room, and they had the same obstacle list that we all create. And yet, for a week, every class had a leader, had youth who sat with them, had 60 children in camp, and one little girl, as she got her first Bible, I think it was one of these, looked just like this. They handed out Bibles. The Methodist women here helped supply the Bibles that they handed out. She said, I have an app on my phone for a Bible, but I've never had a Bible. She got her first Bible because God blessed the resources that were given to him. When we act out of faith, when we act and believe that if God has called us into a particular mission or into a particular path as a church, when we believe in that and step into it, the obstacles become opportunities for God's grace to move through us into the world. But you notice that the story didn't end with the feeding of those 5,000 and that abundance that happened afterwards. It goes on to talk about the disciples in the boat. Because that's the other thing that happens. That when we get into ministry and we begin doing this work, we still have another obstacle. And it's called fear. And it begins to stir us. And we begin to think that in the midst of this ministry, we've got to be the power, and so we're rowing. And have you ever rowed in a headwind? They went 3 to 4 miles. They were rowing for a very long time in a headwind, trying to get to shore, thinking that they had to do it on their own. And that's what happens when we move into a ministry and we get comfortable with it. We believe we are the power. We are the ones who make this thing happen. And then we get tired and we get afraid that we're never going to make it to the shore. We're never going to complete the task. We're never going to be able to finish this. We're never going to be able to do what we told God we would do. And then something happens and we realize that God is with us. And then we realize the task is done. It's like it all becomes calm. And there we are at the shore. And we sort of wonder why we struggled so hard back there in the midst of the storm. That if we had just stopped somewhere in the midst of the storm and gotten still and allowed God to move in and through us, that we would have accomplished the task probably sooner than those hours of rowing in that headwind. Fear often becomes a storm in our lives and becomes the obstacle to the ministry that God would have us do, when the opportunity is to let go of the fear and allow God to move through us. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are being called to be the church of Jesus Christ. We're being called to pool our resources together and not see them as something diminished, but to see them as the offering that we make to God. And to allow God to take that offering and use us here in this place, in this time, and in this community, and to recognize that when we do that, we're going to have a storm, and to let go of our fear in the midst of the storm, and to always allow Jesus to pilot us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.